Good evening. Welcome to the Thursday evening shiur for Parshas Bichukosai. And the topic I'd like to examine this evening is the topic of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Laze. Every Jew is responsible one for the other. This is a phrase which we've all heard of. We've probably seen it on signs and posters and perhaps in shuls, certainly in schools, in yeshiva katanas, day schools. That type of phrase hangs on the hallway. Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Laze. There are songs about it and so on. But what I'd like to discuss this evening is what the halachic import of that concept is, and specifically as we approach the Yom Tov Shavuos, just a little more than a week away, trying to understand when that concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Laze, that every Jew is responsible one for the other, when did that take effect? Was that something that was connected to Matan Torah, connected to Shavuos, or is it something totally extraneous? And if so, when did it take effect, if not at the time of Har Sinai? The point of departure is a pasuk in this week's Sedra, in Bichukosai. On Parshas Bichukosai, we read the first Tochacha that appears in the Chumash. At the end of Vayikra, we have what's called the Klolos Shebetoras Kohanim, the curses, the punishments that appear in the book called Toras Kohanim, the book of Vayikra. There's another Tochacha that comes at the end of the Chumash, Parshas Kisavah. It's called the Klolos Shebetoras Torah in the book of Dvarim, which we read right before Rosh Hashanah, that Tochacha. But in this Tochacha, when it describes the punishment that are in store for the Jewish people should they fail to observe the laws of the Torah, so it says in Perek Chav Vav of Vayikra Pasuk Lamed Zayin, V'choslu ish ba'achib kemipnei chereb v'rodev oyen. People will literally trip one over the other as if being pursued by a sword, by an enemy, v'rodev oyen, but actually nobody's pursuing it. It's an imaginary enemy. What the Torah is describing, as Rashi says in the second source there, in Perek Chav Vav, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, V'choslu ish ba'achib, k'sheyarutzu lanus, y'koshu zebezeh, kiv halalarutz. There'll be such... when the enemy comes, or perceived enemy comes, there'll be such panic, such pandemonium, that everybody will be running away, you know, like you're running out of a crowded theater, and then people trip over each other, and just a complete, you know, complete of cares, complete disarray, because people are running away. Or oh, they find there's really no one chasing it, but there'll be such pandemonium, such panic that people trip over each other. Right, as Rashi says in the second Rashi, too, kimipnei cherev, ki'ilu borchim lifnei hargim, as if there are murderers there, the shooters there, whatever. That's what people think. It will be such a state of panic and such a state of paranoia. We'll think that always people trying to harm us. That's a simple pshat. However, then Rashi says, umidrosho, the medrash, right, another layer of interpretation, umidrosho v'chosu ish bachiv, ze nichshal ba'avono shel ze. One person will trip, so to speak, will be tripped up by the sins, by the averis of another person. Why? Here's what Rashi says, it's your kol Yisrael, arevin zelazeh. Every Jew is responsible one for the others. The hint here is that I will be tripped up because of your averis. You will be tripped up because of my averis. People will suffer because of the averis of somebody else. That's what it means. Again, al derech hadrush. Rebbe Mizrachi in a super commentary on Rashi in source 3, same parak, chaf vav, same pasuk, lamed zayin. Quotes Zen Nichshal Bono Shalik, explains Rashi, Shakur Yisrael Zeh Lazeh. He says Rashi didn't make this up. It's in the Torah's Kohanim and the Medrash. Yeh Perusha Kimipnei Cherub. Kimosh, Zen Nichshal Ishpnei Cherub, Harodev Achrov Kach, Nichshal Benevon Chaveru. Just like a person will be tripped up and frightened by a sword that's pursuing him, an enemy that's pursuing him to kill him, so too are people tripped up because of these sins committed by another person. The Maharal and the Gur Aryeh there in Parakhovah, Pazagam Zion, and source 4, elaborates. And he says it's because, where do we come up with such a drasha from this pasuk? Because why didn't it say v'choslu ish be'ish? Right? So v'choslu ish be one person trips over another person. Why ish be'achiv? Okay? The idea is because we're dealing with people that have a relationship. Ish be'achiv. Dealing in a field of shunota, right? Well, you'll fall down because of achiv, because of your brother, meaning a fellow Jew. Has to do with their a brother in the sense of the of a common spiritual goal and so on. So people trip over one another, and therefore they'll be tripped up, so to speak. So that's the idea, ish bavon achiv, v'choshu ish b'achiv, and this is the idea of Kol Yisrael, arevim ze lazeh. It's also Gemara. Okay, Gemara says in Sanhedrin, of chav zayinam beis, 5, v'haksiv, v'choshu ish b'achiv, ish bavon achiv. Again, it's not Rashi's own idea. It's a Gemara, it's also Gemara in Sanhedrin. Ish bavon achiv, why melamed, shakulan arevim ze lazeh. Same thing. They're all responsible, one for the other. In Rashi and Sanhedrin, Chav Zayin Beis, and source 6 says, Ish Bachiv means Ish Bishvil Achiv. A person will suffer on account of his brother, on account of a fellow Jew, on account of what somebody did wrong. What's the idea of this? Because after all, it's somewhat counterintuitive. Why should I be punished because of a sin that somebody else committed? That's what we're being told. that a person A can be punished because of a sin that he didn't commit. Person B committed the sin. So where exactly do we get that from? You know, yeah, we have this idea of Kol Yisroel and Zebo Zebet or Zeloze. Both expressions are found, both are correct. Zeloze, Zeboze, same idea. Responsible one for the other. But where exactly does this come from? Where do we see it in the halachic sense? So we know back in Parshas Kedoshim a few weeks ago, Meyukra Perik Yotes, Posik Yitzayim, the famous phrase in source 7, you shall, I'm going to translate it, it's normally translated, you shall rebuke, okay, or correct the ways of somebody else, and don't sin on his account. The famous hocheach tochiach. As I said, they often translate hocheach tochiach as rebuke. I never loved that translation because it says harsh, you know, it doesn't really mean rebuke, like in the sense of being mean to somebody, as we'll see in a moment. Actually, there's a Rashi earlier in Chumash, in Parshas Vayera, Breishis Parchov Pasuk Tez Zayin, nothing to do with our topic, except he's a Diktuk Rashi. There, the Pasuk is talking about the interaction between Avram Avinu and Avimelech. When he told Avimelech that this is my sister, so it was his sister, not his wife, and he took her. We know the whole story. When they straighten everything out, the Pasuk says in Parchov Breishis Pasuk Tez Zayin, source 8, it says, Hinehu Lach Susanayim Lachol Asher Itoch Ve'ez Kol Vin No Chochas. It's the last word, v'nochachas. And Rashi there, explaining what the word v'nochachas means, it's something that will give an opportunity to clarify the facts. And look what Rashi says at the end of 9, on that pasuk in Bereishit, parakot pasuk design, v'loshon tochachas b'chol makom birur devarim. Which means that tochach, tochach, v'misecha, again, rebuke, I'm not saying I have a better single English word, but it means to show somebody what's correct, reproof. Right, to show somebody what's right, show somebody the right way. So that's a mitzvah. You have to show other people what's right. Now, the pasuk concludes, you look back in 7, there in Kedoshim, Parshas Kedoshim, the Yikra Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin, says, V'lo sisa olav chet. Okay, show somebody else what's right, and don't sin on his account. What does that mean, don't sin? V'lo sisa olav chet. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi interprets in 10, and there, that's Pusik and Parshka, those where you compare it to Pusik and Zion, right? So, Lo Sisal of Chait, Lo Salbin as Pon of Barabim. That last phrase in the Pusik is coming to teach you how you're supposed to show somebody it's right. How do you rebuke somebody? You do it in such a way that you don't embarrass him. You don't go to a person and say, you stupid idiot, how could you do something so dumb it's not allowed by the Torah? You don't embarrass the person. You have to know how to talk to him and talk to him in the right way. That's what it means. Lo Sisal of Chait. Yes, show somebody it's right, but do it in a menschlich, in a proper, dignified way without embarrassing the person. Again, that's what appears in the Gemara. In Erchen, Daf Tezan Rebbe, source 11, how do we know if you see somebody doing something wrong, something bad being done, sometimes you have to say something, right? If you see something, say something. Okay, he's supposed to, that's the post. And what if he doesn't accept it? Try again, because the double language, but the last line of 11, there in, what if he starts, you know, Rashi explains it, you know, his face turns white, he's embarrassed. So then, then comes the end of the pasuk. No, then at a certain point, you got to stop. The person's embarrassed and so on. You know, the idea is not to embarrass him. So according to Rashi, that's what's meant by Lo Sisa Olav Chait. That's how the Rambam seems to learn as well. Hilchos Deis, Parag Vav Aloch Ches. The Rambam writes in 13, HaMochich Es Chaver Tchilo, when you come to rebuke somebody, show somebody the truth, Lo Yudar Belo Koshos, don't talk to him harshly to embarrass him and shame him. That's a Lo Sisa Olav Chait. Okay? Otherwise, that's an Avera. Not let him embarrass somebody, certainly not in public. And rather, you have to talk to him. In the third line, the Rambam writes, okay, don't embarrass him. Talk to him nicely and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's one interpretation of Lo Sisa Olav Chait, which would have nothing to do with our topic this evening, really. Other than you show somebody the right path, do it in a nice way. The Rashbam, here in Parshas Kedoshim, where you compare Kitesik and Pasuk Yud Zayin, he has a different point, okay? Lo Sisa Zachicha Bilhovecha, and don't sin on his account, so to speak, means what you hold in your heart. Meaning, you know, don't pretend that nothing's bothering you. You see somebody do something wrong, you don't keep it pent up inside you. Speak to the person. Tell him you're not doing the right thing. That's a milo sisal of chait. Okay? Because very often a person, you know, sometimes it's best to air things out. You know, if you see somebody doing, behaving in a certain way, you don't say anything, so it gets worked up inside you, it compounds, becomes worse. You see something, then go to the person. Again, obviously, it's someone, a person with whom you have a relationship. Air it out. Tell them you're not doing the right thing. This isn't right. Rather than keep it pent up inside you, because then it becomes much worse. That's what Lo Sisa Olav Chait. You're holding in your heart. You're holding a grudge. You know, it's better to air it out. That's what Lo Sisa Olav Chait means according to Rashbam. Ibn Ezra, there in Vayikra, again, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, he says, don't suspect them. Lo Sisa Olav Chait make sure when you rebuke a person that you know what you're talking about, that you, what you accuse him of doing, you taka did. That's Velo Sisa Lav Chet. So those are different interpretations of Velo Sisa Lav Chet. However, the Ramban quotes the Targum Unklus. I printed in 16 Targum Unklus, and that Pasuk in Parashat Kedoshim, Parakat Tesbuk, Pasuk Zion, it says, Velo Sakbil al Dilei Chova. You better show somebody the right path so that you won't be charged with a sin on his account. And that already relates to our topic, implying that if you don't tell him the right thing to do, and then he continues to behave in an inappropriate manner, you are at least partially to blame for what he does. That's already our topic of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazet. Okay, you have an opportunity. That's really the Choshu Ish Bavon Achiv. You'll get tripped up because it's the idea of Chayach Tochicha Samisecha. That's the root of it. You got to show somebody was right. If you don't, and he continues to behave in that fashion, then you're partly to blame for his behavior. You're going to get punished for his behavior. That's the Ramban quotes on, because Ramban himself takes it in a different direction, but you take a look at Ramban there in Kedoshim, Perkates, Pazigazayan, Ches, Losisan, Achir, Bevech, etc. So he says, he quotes Unklus, and he says, because what's going to happen if you don't, if you don't step forward and say something, so then you're going to be sort of held to blame for him as well. He discusses other interpretation we mentioned as well. Okay, but then the second line of the second paragraph printed there in 17, it says, Shalot tekabel ato onesh b'chait shalo. You don't want to get punished for his sin. So here we find this notion, why should I get punished for the sin of somebody else? When is that true? Yeah, Kol Yisrael Mazel HaZeh, but that doesn't sound fair. Yeah, it's talking about a situation where I could have stopped it. I could have corrected the other person. Again, we're not talking about a guy in the street that I never saw before. I'm going to tell him something, tell me to drop dead. But someone that I have a relationship with, and I let him or her continue to behave in that fashion, and I don't correct them, tell you, no, that's not the halacha. This food's not kosher. Now let's do that on Shabbos or whatever. I got to do it in a nice way, like we said before. I just look the other way, pretend it's none of my business. So then when the person continues to behave that way, then it's partially my, doesn't mean he's not going to get punished, but it means I'm also going to get punished. That's the idea of Kol Yisrael and Zelazeh, that v'choshu ish b'achiv, ish b'avon achiv. We have another mocker in the Torah, the very end of the Chumash in Parshas Kisavo. It says in Devarim, Parakov Zayin, Pasuk Chubav 18, Omer HaShalom Yochim, Nistibat Torah, Zelaz, 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 this is what's happening in our Grizim and our Eval when they were assembled by the mountain and so on, and everyone answered Amen. It said, cursed is the person doesn't uphold the Torah, doesn't hold the Torah up. So the Yerushalmi in Sota, Parag Zana Lachadal of 19 asks, what do you mean it doesn't hold the Torah up? Is the Torah falling down? Right? B'chiyesh Torah Nofeles? It's actually the Gemara says it's talking about Hagba, the one of the sources for Hagba, lifting up the Torah. But okay, not our topic now. Acha b'shem b'tanachum b'chiyo lomad b'lime b'shomar v'osa b'hoisos. Or listen to this. Rabbi Acha says, you have a person who learned and who taught and he observed the mitzvahs and he did the commandments and so on. But he had the opportunity to prevent somebody else from doing it, from upholding the Torah in the hands of somebody else, right? As the Korban Eid explains there in Sota Perek 20, Lachzik, Sha'ar Ha'am, other people. You had the opportunity to have the Torah upheld by other people. You didn't do it. You're included in that horror, in that curse. Okay, and that's the Pemosh also says there. Dino Lasso Hoysa, he writes, Biad Lom De Torah, Lefarnas, or something. He has something else. You have to support people study Torah. But the Korban Eda has our idea. Korban Eda says, this is what the Pasuk means. You have to uphold the Torah, not just for yourself. In Yiddish, we have an expression, Amach Shabbos Fazich. I take care of myself. No, you have to take care of other people also and make sure they uphold the Torah. That's the Ramban there in Kisovo explains. In Perkov Zayim Pasuk Chavov, he quotes, Tevi Shalmin Soto. And he says that this is the idea. Okay. And it's talking about the leaders and the princes and so on have to uphold the Torah. And look at the end of Ramban, and then end of 22. Vafilu hoya tzadik gomor. He was a righteous person. I didn't do anything wrong. I chas l'shom. I didn't eat non-kosher. I didn't violate Shabbos. I didn't do anything wrong. But if I was able to uphold the Torah with somebody else and I didn't, I get punished as well. That's how the Sefer Mitzvah is caught in the smack. In Mitzvah Kuf Yud Beis 23 says, on the Mitzvah Chayach Tochiach, what does it mean? Darshu Rabo Seinu. Haroach Chavero over al Divrei Torah. I see somebody else violating something, okay? And I have the opportunity to stop it. I don't. I'm violating. Ocheach Tochiach. I get punished as well. And the truth is, even without all these Gemaras, it's Psukim, Sefer Yecheskel, the Novi. Yecheskel Novi, Paragimel. Pasuk Yud Ches, look what it says in 24. Yecheskel, Paragimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. But Omri LaRosha, most Tamuz, if I decide, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Novi, that a certain Rosha is to be put to death, is to die, below his heart tone, you didn't warn him. You didn't try to get him to return from his evil ways. Hu Rasha Bavono Yomus, he'll die for his sins. It doesn't mean he's off scot-free. But look what it says at the end of Pasuk Yud Ches. V'domo miyod chavakesh. I will seek his blood from you. I'll hold you responsible. Now, Pasuk Yud Ches. V'atok his heart to Rasha. If you did warn him, you tried to stop him, and you know he didn't listen to you, okay, so then Hu Bavono Yomus, he'll get punished for his sin. V'atok stav shavisalto. You saved yourself. You have same thing in the reverse case. And Chavala, that's a different... You know, that's a different angle of the same idea, but bottom line, okay, bottom line is that you're being told by the Navi that if you don't try and stop someone from doing an Avera, right, he'll get punished. What he does, he's doing it knowingly, but you're going to share the blame. That's how the Radak explains in the Perakur Gimel, I told you to stop him and so on and so forth, and you didn't. So look what it says. Lefichach at the end of the Radak, Avakesh Domo Yorcho Va'anish Cholov. You're going to get punished for his sin soon. And so the David says the same thing. Okay, because who knows? Maybe if you would have spoken up, he wouldn't have done it. Okay, so therefore you're responsible as well. And we see this in a couple of prominent places, including some prominent people. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos, Nun Dalad Mitbeis. The Mishnah is talking about on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have your, you know, you're not allowed to, a person not allowed to carry without an Erev on Shabbos. But not only am I not allowed to carry, I'm also not allowed to have my animal carry something for me. Not that the animal has to observe Shabbos, but I'm not allowed to have my animal carry something on Shabbos for me. So there's a discussion in Mishnayos, the Gemara, and that parak in Shabbos. What about certain things the animal wears? Cowbell, some type of a thing on its horns, or say saddle, or whatever. So certain things are considered permissible on Shabbos. So the Gemara, the Mishnah there says that the calf can't go with this type of thing, and an eagle a paro with that type of thing. But the key part for us, the end of 27, Mishnah and Shabbos, Nun Dal and Beis. Elazar ben Azaria let his cow go out with some type of strap on his horns, against the decision of the other chachamim. Okay? And because as Rashi explains, because it's considered like carrying something. Again, the details for Shabbos, not interested at the moment, but that's what it says. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, we know Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria disagreed with the Chacham about this. That's a Gemara in Beitza, Mishnah in Beitza, Daf Chav Gimel and Aleph, source 29. The Mishnah says certain things, three things of Elazar ben Azaria matter. He was lenient about Chacham. The Chachamim were stricter; they prohibited it. One is Parosi Yotza Bertzul Shaben Karneh. He allowed the animal, yeah, but he was outvoted, so he let it happen anyway. He let his animal go out on Shabbos anyway. What kind of business is this? Not only that, but the Gemara asks on Nundalam and Beis and Shabbos, not Mishnah, what do you mean, Parosos Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria? What do you mean, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria's cow? His cow. Gemara says he had lots of cows. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria was a very, very wealthy man. And he quotes, the Gemara quotes that he had Tresa Alfe, 12,000 calves. And tons of, he was a big, huge herd, a very wealthy man, a lot of cattle. So I mean, his cow. Okay, and furthermore, how could it be? In general, he didn't listen to what the Chacham said. So look what it says there in the second line of 31. Shabbos Nundam Rebeis, listen to this. Tana Shalo Haisa. Wasn't his cow. Chas Shon Velozon Azariah would not have allowed his cow to do something on Shabbos that the Chacham prohibited. Rather, Ela Shal Shechenoso Haisa. It was his neighbor's cow. So why did it say that Velozon Azariah's cow? When we talk Shalom Michaba Nikris Al Shemo. It's credited to him, or blame. The blame is put on him because he never told the neighbor, you're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. So for posterity, is recorded in the Mishnah that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, the great Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, let his animal out on Shabbos in a manner that was inappropriate. The Chacham didn't allow. It wasn't really his animal, but because he could have stopped it, he never told the neighbor what was right. It's considered as his animal. And the Gemara goes on, it carries on to Nehem and Aleph. Not going to read the whole thing now, but anybody, call Misha Efshalimcha San Shebeso Velomicha. If you have the opportunity to correct the behavior of people in your household, you don't do it. Even though you didn't do anything wrong, you're blamed. And it's not limited to the household. An She'iro, if you have a lot of influence of people in your town and you don't do anything, then when they behave inappropriately, it's you're to blame. And then it says even the whole world. Okay. Now, the Gemara seems to say it's talking about the Zakan and the elders. But in any event, the bottom line is, we'll get back to that point in a moment. But in any event, we see from this Gemara, okay, is that a person has an obligation to try and stop somebody else from doing an Aveira. And if you don't, you're held to blame. That's Kol Yisar, even Zelazeh, the Pasuk in our Sedra, V'choshlu Ish Bavon Achim. You'll trip over somebody else's Aveiras. And again, I quoted the Psukim Yishayahu that the Gemara quotes, okay, Yishayahu Per Gimel, Hashem b'mishpat yavo im zikne amo v'sorav Hashem will come to, you know, to judgment. He'll judge the elders as a Canaan, because you could have stopped it, and so on. As Rashi says there in Yeshaya, Paragim, 35, they should have stopped this from happening in the community. They didn't do anything. The Radak says also, the job of the people, leaders, is to show people it's right. They don't do it. They're just worried about themselves. No good. So the Me'iri there in Shabbos on Nun Daled Beis, I printed in 37, seems to say that, like I said before, it's talking about the elders, the Zekanim, and so on. Either they're the Melech or other people who, you know, who have authority. That's what's to stop it. Okay. But there's something else as well. It's not just those people. It's everybody. Okay. But for right now, certainly a person who's in a position of authority and can influence somebody else and fails to do so, when that somebody else doesn't have error, then part of the blame goes on that person as well, on me as well. That's the idea of Kol Yisrael Zebazeh. Perhaps Rochech Tochech Zamisecha, perhaps from Oro Shelo Yochim. There's another Makor, Pasuk and Parshas Nosel, reading a couple of weeks about a Nazir. Perk Vav, Pasuk Aleph, Beis, by the Rosh Hashanah, Lemur, Dabrel, Bnei Sobatam, Ish, O Isha, Ki Yafel, Indor, Neder, Nazir, Lazir, Hashem. A man or woman decides to become a Nazir. Okay, so the Medrash, Bamidu Rabbah, there in Parshas Nosel, Parsha Yud, Simon Hay, 39, says, why did it say Ish, O Isha? It means everybody's responsible for making sure the Nazir, to the extent that he can, doesn't violate, drink any wine, and so on. And the Medrash there quotes our Pasuk, B'chashu ish b'achiv, ish b'bonachiv, melamet shekoy tzorayim zebazeh. And the same thing in this Medrash in Parshas Noso, you can't just, you see a Nazir about to drink wine, you got to remind him, hey, you know, you're a Nazir, and so on. Okay? Furthermore, very fascinating, a famous Gemara, which is an interesting twist. The famous Gemara in Yuma, Pei Vav and Aleph. Shora Masim and Chorshid, Elizabeth and Azariah Baromi. Okay, the person answered with Elizabeth and Azariah. Shomata Arba Chaluke Kahor, therefore, this is a Gemara that's often studied in Asaras Mechuvin, in advance of Yom Kippur. It says that there are four different types of Kapora, atonement, depending upon the severity of the sin. He answered, isn't that Rabbi Shmuel Toy? He said, no, there are three. Okay, what it means is as follows. Certain Averas, you do the Avera and then you do Tshuva, you get forgiven immediately. Other averas are more severe. You have to do more than just a tshuva. You need Yom Kippur. You need the avodas, a korbanos, a svar mishalech, and Yom Kippur. And so that's what the Gemara there is talking about. But the Gemara says, for our purpose, in the second line of 40, Yuma peivav medala, over al asay bishav, if somebody violated the mitzvah asay and did tshuva, I had to fail to put on tefillin, and then I did tshuva, I felt bad, I did sincere tshuva. Eino zav mishamar tshamokno. You don't move and you're forgiven already. You don't have to wait for Yom Kippur. You don't need right. You don't need to suffer anything. You fail to do what I say. Now, then the Gemara goes on. Other averas need more. But for our purposes, it says if you did an avera a mitzvah I say, you violated a mitzvah I say, you failed to eat matzah on Pesach or whatever, okay, and you didn't do it, and you did tshuva, you get forgiven right away. How do we know? Quotes a pasuk Yom Yom Perigimel pasuk of Beis Shuva Bonam Shovavim Erpa Meshuvo Sechem. Right, as Rashi explains, Shuva Bonam Miyad Erpa. You do tshuva, I will heal you right away. Okay, that's the source in Yirmiyahu. Okay, and the Radak explains what it means is slicha with tshuva. Okay, you can take a look at the Radak, Paragimel, Pasuk of Beis in Yirmiyahu. Okay, ahu, ahavon, refuasa, slicha, matshuva, right? It's like healing. It uses the word refuah. Doesn't mean medical healing, but spiritual healing. Good. What it means is shuvu banim shovim, erpa mishuvo sechem. You do tshuva, you'll get healed right away. So that's the proof that the Gemara brings, that there's certain averas, if you do tshuva, you get forgiven right away. You don't have to wait to Yom Kippur or anything else. Get forgiven right away. All right, and the Gemara applies it to somebody who violated a mitzvah saseh and does tshuva, he gets forgiven right away. Comes this. Hope you can hear me. Yeah, you can hear me now? Sorry, a little interruption. So the Sefer Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, which is written by Moshe Ben Chaviv, one of the early Achronim. He writes there in Yom HaDaf Pei Vav Bet Aleph. He writes as follows. One second. I don't understand that proof, he says. What do you mean you're proving the pasuk in Yirmiyahu Paragimel that if you violate an asayin, you do tshuva, you get forgiven right away? True, yes. The pasuk does imply that if you do tshuva, you get forgiven right away, but who says it's talking about a mitzvah saseh? Matter of fact, says the Tosefta Yom Kippur, you look in the context there in Yom Yom Paragimel, it's not talking about avodah zarah. It's not talking about a mitzvah saseh, I didn't put on tefillin, I didn't matzah, it's talking about avodah zarah, it's a lo saseh primarily. So how do you prove from there that if someone violated, yeah, you can prove that there are certain averes. If you do tshuva and you get right away, you get forgiven right away. Okay, good. But it doesn't mean it's someone an asay. Where's the asay? It's not what it's talking about. It's someone about the Zohar. Do you know what he says? A fascinating answer. Second line of 44. This is the Tosefet Yom Kippurim. He says, the Avshal Yashay, the answer is, he says, the Krom Ma'ari B'Gedol Yisrael. It's not talking in the Pasuk about the people who worship the Avodah Zarah. It's talking about the Gedol Yisrael. Shalo Hayom Mochichim Al Dorim Ma'od the Avodah Zarah. They didn't, the leaders who didn't stop, they didn't, it's about the leaders who themselves weren't worshiping Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom. But they didn't stop the people. And so they violated Asay. What Asay? Mochet Ochich, Samin Secha. Yeah, so that's a clever answer about Tosefes Yom Kippurim. That's the raya from that pasuk. You see from that pasuk, Taka, that a person who violates an asay and does tshuva gets forgiven right away. Who's what I say? We're talking to people who violate the asay of achich tochich. But for our purpose this evening, what do we see again? That the elders, the zakenim, the leaders of the people who were themselves maybe didn't do avodah zarah, but they didn't stop others, they're to blame for it. Okay. Now we know, of course, but a few weeks ago, now that actively inspires someone to do an aver. That's lifnei iver, right? In Perek Yutes of Vayikra, Pasuk Yudzayin, 45, it says lifnei iver lo sitein mikshol. Now we know you can't actively. Right? And the Gemara says, "What is Zohar? The bottom of Menalav going over our base." 46. You can't, or going back to the Nazir, you can't offer a cup of wine to the Nazir. Because lifnei iver lo sitein mikshol, again, the Gemara explains he couldn't get it himself. You enabled him to drink wine, so that you're not allowed to do actively. Okay, that's for sure. Okay, but the ritva, the chidush ritva there, and avodah zarah v'amid beis, the maskil talmud lomar adds that aside from the problem of not, of inspiring or encouraging somebody to do an aver, not allowed to actively do that, but even if you don't actively do anything, you just fail to rebuke him. Look at the last words of 48. They're two different dinim. Not only not allowed to actively encourage somebody to do an avera, but you have to stop him if you can. But the same idea, because that's how the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva. Shar Aleph Os Nun. Okay. Lahoshiv Rabbin Me'avon Kasher Tesegidu. There is an obligation to bring back other people doing avera to the extent that you can. Doesn't mean you don't control everybody in the world. But to the extent that you can have an influence over somebody, if you don't have an influence over anybody, okay. Okay, I mean, but if you can, kasher tosigado, that's ochech tochiach. And if not, kim lo yochichenu ye aneshal chatov. If you have an opportunity to influence somebody who failed to do it, you'll be punished for this sin. Again, the same idea later in the Shari Tshuva, Shari Gimel's Ayin Beis, 50. Ochech tochiach, right? He says, you're supposed to try and get another person to stop doing avarice. And if you don't, you're going to get punished. It must be, and it's interesting. He quotes even the Goyim on this study. He quotes a pasuk in Yonah, Parakala Pasuk Zion. Remember when the sea, the ship was tempest tossed by a big storm, right? They understood that someone's to blame here for this. Why are we being punished? We're all suffering because someone here, and they drew lots. Remember, and they came on to Yonah. Okay, but anyway, that's the idea, to understand that sometimes the other people suffer the sins of one person. But certainly it's true by Jews, of course, Rabbi Zelazar, and the same thing. There are many Yonah writes in a different mark, the Igeris HaTshuva, not the Shari Tshuva, in the Igeris HaTshuva, printed usually in the back of the Shari Tshuva, in Oz Dalad. So he clearly links if you fail to do that, then you're going to be punished. It goes even further, certainly with regards to the leaders of the community. We have a principle, the Gemara says, you've almost paid testament base 53. Hefker Bezdin Hoya Hefker, famous Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Bezdin can sometimes declare somebody's property ownerless. It's my property. Bezdin is the right. We have such a similar thing in America, or something called eminent domain. Right? The government can take my house. They want to build a highway over here or something. Okay. Anyway, in Halacha, there's something called Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Not only that, but the next stop in Yavam is Tzadi Amid Beis, 54. Tashma Arbalaz Mar Yaakov Shemati Shebezdin Makin Va'onchin Shalom in HaTorah. Sometimes Bezdin can administer punishment, even capital punishment, Shalom in HaTorah, even though it's not what the Torah demands. The low lavro deliberator chasonat the violating Torah and also circulatory. Sometimes it's to build a fence. Sometimes Bezdin has to take dramatic action. And we pass on our halacha, the Rambam, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Parchav Dalad, Pasuk Dalad, Ahalacha Dalad, 55. Yesh le Bezdin lahalkos mishenu mechuv malchus. Sometimes Bezdin can administer lash to somebody who's not obligated by the Torah to get malchus, and even to execute somebody. Namely, Sheroim Bezin Sheparts on Bedover. The Bezin sees that people are lax in this area. There's a big breach in society and observance of this area. They can take dramatic action. Not done regularly, but what, and sometimes that's what they have to do. That's an Alcha Dal, Alcha Vav. Sometimes they can confiscate money and so on. Hefker Bezin, Hefker. Same thing in the Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mish, but Simon Bey is Sif Aleph. Every Bezin, if they see Imroim Shom Prutz in Baveras, they see there's a timely need for something because people are doing these Averas. Hayudanin Bein Nisa Bein Mamon, they execute or they can seize money and so on. Where does all that come from? The right? How, what do you mean Hefker Bezin, Hefker? What do you mean Bezin is the right to seize property? Where does that come from? Where do we see that? It's the Marami Rutenberg in the Tshuva. Tfus Prags in the Tuf Kuf Mem, 57, writes the name of Rabbi Yosef Tuvelam, one of the Balei Tosfos. He says, you know where it comes from? This idea of Kol Yisrael Reivim, Zelazeh. Okay, that's where it comes from. All right? This is the job of the Beis Din. And it quotes in the second line, our Pasuk, V'chashlu Ish B'Achiv, Ish B'Avon Achiv. We started with. That's the right. Since everybody's responsible, so the Beis Din is even more responsible. So sometimes they have to take dramatic action in order to convince people to stop behaving in manner X, Y, and Z. So the source of Hefker Bezin Hefker, or the source of Makin Va'onchin Shalom and Adin, is this notion of Kol Yisarim is Elazesim Aram Rutenberg. Okay, according to him. That's where it comes from, because there, otherwise the Bezin is going to be held responsible. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to do whatever I have to do, because I'm responsible for this. So you see a nice summary, 58, the nice summary of this, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, or Chaim Sim Tov Mem Gimel, Tom and Hilchos Pesach, listen to this case. Sivov and Siv Zayin, I'll say it outside to save a few moments. He said, what if you have the following thing? Somebody gave me his chametz. Someone's going on a trip, wants to close down his freezer, unplug everything. So he says, can I store in my freezer, in my basement, his donuts or whatever? Okay, so I do. I put it in my freezer. He went away. He wants to close the whole house. He went away. Now comes Erev Pesach. I haven't heard him. I can't reach him. He doesn't answer the phone. Doesn't return my text. And it's coming Erev Pesach. I got donuts in my freezer. Okay, so I can't really sell them because not mine. What does it do with them? You know, throw them out, they're not mine. So Shulchan Aruch Rav says, based on earlier sources, he says, you wait till the last minute, maybe you'll get in touch. But if you have to, you sell it. And if not, and the time comes, then you got to destroy it. Why? Not because I will violate Ba'i Rabbi Yamatze, because Ba'i Rabbi Yamatze, on Pesach, I'm only obligated if it's my chametz. But I've got to prevent him from violating it. Because if I don't do something, he probably forgot all about it. He's going to violate Ba'i Rabbi Yamatze without realizing he's going to have, it's his donuts, it's his chametz, they left in my freezer, belong to him, so he's going to violate Ba'i Rabbi Yamatze. So therefore, I have to get rid of it. That's the idea. The Panim Yofos mentioned something else in last week's segment, talking about the mitzvah stock in Vayikra Perek Kaf Hei Pasuk Lamed Hei V'Chiyamucha Chicha. He says, because every Jew, he quotes Kol Yitzharim Zelazeh there also. He says, because everybody, you know, if somebody else is poor and I have the opportunity to help him, that's what I got to do. That's in a financial sense. Well, it's true in the spiritual sense as well. That's the Panim Yofos, both. Okay, I have to help somebody else who's falling apart financially because I can't just pretend. It's none of my business, not my problem. If I can help, I have to help. Same thing in the spiritual realm. Okay, we have our souls are bound together and so on. Some Sofer writes in the Tshuva, Chelek Chol Shemish, but some Kufay and Zion, and I was given 60, he says, we shouldn't think it's only the Bezin, it's all people, even Hedyotas, even regular people, to the extent that they can. It mentions Bezin, it mentions the Canaan, because that's who usually has authority to do something. But if you have a personal opportunity, then you've got to take care of yourself. And finally, in this group of sources, 61, there were Bechana Wasser and the Kovach Shurin Beitz of Samuel Zion, quotes of Yonah that we mentioned before, and he says that the din of arvus, kovitz or arevim, this idea of responsible one for the other, that's part of ocheach tocheach as misecha. And he writes, of course, that's only if you can do something, right? If somebody's drowning and I can't swim, that's nothing I can do about it. Okay, but if I can, I'm supposed to stop that. I'm supposed to stop him or help. And that's the situation. Now, you look in the Rambam 62, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gadol Lach Aleph, the Rambam mentions certain things which prevent the person from being able to do proper tshuva. 24 things. One of them is, if you inspire someone else to do an avera, okay, or if you stop somebody else from doing a mitzvah, that's an Os Aleph and Os Gimel. He writes, you see somebody behaving inappropriately, whether it's your child or somebody else, you got to stop them, like we said. But I'm interested right now, the Rambam brings up mitzvahs. So until now, we've spoken about Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh in the realm of averas, stopping somebody else from doing an avera. Now we'll turn to what about in the realm of mitzvahs, okay? So we see that just like you have to stop somebody doing an avera, you are responsible to help somebody to do a mitzvah, okay, to the extent that you can help them. What does it mean? So there's a famous mission, Rosh Hashanah, Chav Tetzvah Aleph 63. that somebody who's not obligated in a mitzvah can't be motzi somebody else. Chayre shodan katan ain motzi and sarab minei chavosim. Zeh haklal kol she'enu mechuv dover and motzi sarab minei chavosim. Okay, let's say I have a kid who's 12 years old. He's been taking trumpet lessons for the last 5 years, and he blows shofar beautifully. Okay, beautiful shofar blow. But he can't blow shofar me on Rosh Hashanah because he's not obligated in the mitzvah. In order to be motzi somebody else in a mitzvah, you have to be obligated yourself. Okay? And that's how we pass halacha. The Rambam hichlo shofar perk beis halacha beis. Kol mi she'enu mechuv dover ein motzi sarab minei chavosim. The woman also can't blow shofar for a man because she's technically not obligated. And our minig is the woman do hear shofar. Shulchan Aruch also siman tavkuf peites over chaim sif aleph 65. Kol she'enu mechuv dover ein motzi acharim minei chavosim. Okay? Now the Mishnah Berurah adds 66. Okay, very important point. That means somebody who's not obligated at all. But what if I am obligated in general? I'm just not obligated now because I did the mitzvah already. I've yotzeh already. I heard shofar already. I'm obligated in shofar, Rosh Hashanah, but I heard it already. So in a certain sense, I'm no longer obligated. Maybe I'm like the kid who's 12 years old. So that the Mishnah says, no. And not only can I blow shofar, I can even make the bracha. That's the Gemara on that mission, Rosh Hashanah, Chav Tesman Aleph in 67. Look what it says, the famous Gemara, Tani Abba Berei Demzera, Kol Abrochas Kulon, Afal Pi Sheyotza Motzi. Even though I was Yotze ready, I can be Motzi somebody else. Chutz Bebirchas Alechem Birchas Ayayin, except the Broch on food, which we'll see. Then I can only be Motzi if I'm being Yotze myself. But let's see what's going on. Look in Rashi, Chav Tesman Alam Rosh Hashanah 68, Afal Pi Sheyotza Motzi, Sharei Kol Yisar, Rebbe Zebazel Mitzis. Here it is again, but this time in the realm of Mitzis. Every Jew is responsible for every other. So even though I discharge my personal obligation to hear shofar Rosh Hashanah, if you haven't, I can blow shofar Rosh with you. I mean, motzi you in the mitzvah. I'm not like the 12-year-old kid because fundamentally I'm obligated. I already did it. That's the rule of afal pi sheyotza motzi. Now Rashi explains it doesn't work by food because no mitzvah. Okay, if I'm eating an apple and you're eating an apple, then I can make a bar per eitz on your behalf. And you can answer amen and eat the apple. You have to make your own bracha. But like we do Friday night, most people, right? The head of the household makes hamotzi and everyone else eats the bread without making the bracha. Fine. But if I'm not eating, I can't make it because that's not a mitzvah, Rashi explains. But in the realm of mitzvahs, it works. Why does that work? What do you mean? How can I make a bracha or do a mitzvah with somebody else when I've already done it? I'm finished. So the shiltas of Rachai going, Parshas Yisrael, Shilta Nun Dalet, right, 69. The Chochad Bechad Miyisrael, Michai Barbuza de Chavre, Uchman de lo Ifter Dame, Umapik Acheren. Because in a certain sense, it's like I'm not Yotze. The principle of Kol Yisar or even Zel Azel when it comes to mitzvahs means, since I have a responsibility for you, in a certain sense, I wasn't Yotze myself. Even though I heard shofar, part of me wasn't Yotze. The Ritz Geyes also, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, says the same thing. Kis Shofar, Kis Halal, Mikra Megillah, Afal Bish Yotze Chodof, Yorech Havasa, Chozor Motze, Yorech Havasa Cherim. That means if they can't do it themselves, it's something else. But the Kevin, the Kol Yisar or even Zel Azel, he says it. Even though I've discharged my personal obligation, my friend's obligation is on me also. And therefore, I can be motzi him. The Ran writes like this in the Rif and Rosh Hashanah, Chesed Aleph, on the page of the Rif, 71. Again, Tana Ava Breda Bezerah, Kol HaBrachos Kulon Afos Yotza Motzi, Shari Kol Yisar, same idea. So therefore, I can be motzi somebody else. Not on food, because not on mitzi. He says the same thing. The Ritvah, the Aaron Rosh Hashanah says the same thing. He says, "Kulam keguf echad." That's what it means. What does it mean? Look at the end of 72, the Chiddush Ritvan Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean? "Kulam keguf echad." We're all like one body. The whole Jewish people is like one body. The word "Kol Yisarav Arev Zelazeh" has its roots in Hilchos Arevus Arev. An Arev is a guarantor and a loan. We'll come back to that point. But sometimes the guarantor has to pay if the lender defaults. Right, that's what it is here. It's my obligation. We'll talk about that in a little while. Except again, food is not like that. The Hilchos Brachos Ritvah Parakeos Aleph, same thing. Okay, and he writes, "Tam lefisha kol yisar mizelazeh shechaveru chayev harehu keilahu atzmo chayev." My friend is obligated. It's like I'm obligated also. So there you see. That's the Rambam Paskins that halacha Hilchos Brachos Parak Aleph Yud 74. Kol brachos kol afisha berach biyotzei chosam mutol bracha cherem. Except for food and so on, the Torah says it as well. Nicholas Megillah, Archaim, Simon Tofer, Sadi Beit. So, Rabbo, so we see from here, very important point, that Kol Yisarev Arev Zelazer applies by mitzvahs as well. To the extent that I can perform a mitzvah, even though I did it already, I'm done. Doesn't matter. If there's somebody else that I can help, I have to do that, and it's part of my obligation. It's still intact. That's why I can make a bracha. How can I say Asher Kiddushanu b'Mitzvosav v'Tzivanu? I was in command. I did it already. I heard the shofar this morning. How can I go and blow shofar now for somebody's in the hospital, somebody's mother-in-law's at home or whatever, they couldn't come to shul? No, that's it's part of my obligation. So that's the idea. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes, it seems to be a deraisa. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in his commentary on the Riffin Brachas, Yud Aleph and Beis, in the page of the Riffin Maskel, Tefillah Mezuzah. He quotes Rabbeinu Yitzchak, okay, that a person didn't eat anything, okay, he says, strictly speaking, should work for that too. Because after all, I'm responsible. So good, I'm not eating now. But he says, strictly speaking, should work for them too. But the Rabbanon, it doesn't work. The Raisa, perhaps it even work over there. Okay. The Rosh also perhaps mentions that. Okay. In Brachas Per Gimel, Sunyud Gimel, look at the end of what I quoted in 77. He mentions two things. Two things that we've seen this evening under Koyis Arev Zelazeh. You prevent the person from doing an avera, and you got to help him do a mitzvah. In fact, the Aruch HaNer in Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, the Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, mean Chaf Hei Amud Maschol, the Gemara Hacha Torah Tirdu Mitzvah says, you know, we have a principle of Ha'osek B'Mitzvah Potam in a mitzvah. If I'm involved in mitzvah A and mitzvah B comes along, I can ignore mitzvah B because I'm already involved in a mitzvah. Ha'osek B'Mitzvah. Now, if you can do both, what kinds of rules? But Osek B'Mitzvah Potam in a mitzvah. Okay, but what if I'm Osek in a mitzvah? I already did the mitzvah. I'm blowing shofar now for somebody else. I did the mitzvah already. And now I have an opportunity to do it myself, a different mitzvah, and go visit somebody who's sick or whatever. Okay, help somebody something. Maybe I should say, well, I'm not going to blow shofar for you now because I thought Osek B'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. Says the Aruch HaNer, yes, it is. When you're doing a mitzvah on behalf of somebody else, it's still called Osek, even though it's not really a mitzvah for me because I heard shofar already. No, I'm blowing for somebody else. It's still a mitzvah. Yesh Lomer, the cave and the koyzarim zelazeh, im kein mishem maybe chaver ledekia mitzvah daraisa, I'm helping him fulfill mitzvah daraisa. That's also called osik mitzvah daraisa on my part. That's how far this goes. Maram Shik in the tshuva, interesting tshuva, not only actively helping somebody, but he extends it further. Tshuvas are a chaim simon shin chof bay, 79. Listen, in this case, a guy wants to eat my sukkah. Okay, can I lock the sukkah and prevent him from coming in? Can I let someone now? Okay, there are things to work out. I can. I'm in when I'm eating with my family. But let's say Stam, I'm not there anymore, not using it. Can I lock my sukkah and keep him out? Says the Maram Shik, no. And the Bezing enforcing, you got to let that person into your sukkah. Again, he can't damage it, whatever. But again, you let somebody else. And he says, you force somebody out. You force someone because there's a mitzvah. And he writes, there's an obligation. Here I have a sukkah. He's got no sukkah. His sukkah blew down or whatever happened, or the hurricane, his sukkah collapsed. So now I have to let him into my, of course I have to let him in my sukkah. So now I'm here. I'm not being motzi him in anything. I don't know, maybe motzi somebody, but it's enabling a person to do a mitzvah. That's also, okay? And that's also arvus, all right? And he also mentioned, of course, it's milas chesed as well. All right, we find such a similar din in the Achronim, an interesting discussion, wouldn't come up today. But Rechaim simon tov reish nun hei. At one time, you know, in 80, at one time, it wasn't so easy to get a lulav and esrog. You know, they weren't available, especially in Europe. And I've said many times that the average 10-year-old probably today has seen a nicer esrog than maybe the Vilna Gaon had. I don't know if that's true, but whatever. You couldn't quite get a esrog and a lulav all the time in Europe. Okay, but so sometimes you'd have a town, there was no lulav and esrog. So ordinarily, we know you're not allowed to tell a goy, a non-Jew, on Shabbos Yontif to go do something I couldn't do myself. So let's say this other city, it's Yontif, is outside the Tchum. It's outside, beyond where I'm allowed to walk. I can carry it's Yontif, but beyond where I'm allowed to walk. So I can't go there, but can I tell a goy to do it? Usually not a tell a goy, but here you're allowed to. Okay? Here you're allowed to. Look in 81, the Aruch HaShulchan. There in Simon Tov Rosh Nun Hei Siv Gimel. Shekein HaMinig V'Yisol Sholach Yisol Acher. You can even send perhaps send to another Jew. You can violate the usual rule of not telling a Jew I can do it. Why? Because the mitzvah, it's a mokka mitzvah. I'm allowed to do something that ordinarily would not be forbidden through a guy because it's a mokka mitzvah that enables somebody else to do this avera, to do this mitzvah. Again, I'm not being motzi anybody, but I'm enabling somebody. And lo and behold, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes, at the end of Siv Gimel, that's part of Kol Yisarei Mizelazeh. It's not just to prevent a person from doing an Avera, and it's not even just to promote him in a mitzvah. It's to enable him to do a mitzvah. Mishabru in that same Siman Top Reish Nun Hei in the Shart Tzion Oshei also says, Anu Mitzuvah Mitam Arvus Liros Shegam Chavero Ben Yisrael Yasem Mitzvah. I have to make sure other people can do mitzvahs as well. So we've established, Rabbosai, that there is this notion that two things really are included under this famous principle of Kol Yisrael and Mizelah. One, I have to do my best to stop another person doing an avera. And two, I can even perform a mitzvah and be motzi him in a mitzvah. I have to encourage him to do a mitzvah and able to do a mitzvah and even be motzi him in a mitzvah. If that's considered, and it's considered that I'm doing a mitzvah when so doing. But now we come to the question, when did this historically take effect, this obligation? When does this obligation, you see, it's a little difficult to understand because hochech tochich will tell us that you're not allowed to have somebody else, you have to stop somebody else from doing an avera. You're not allowed to look the other way from doing an avera. And that's not talking about mitzvahs. So where did that come into the mix? Where did the fact that I can be motzi someone else in a mitzvah, that's not from hochech tochich. Maybe it's an or shelo yoko, maybe, you know, I'll be cursed if I don't uphold the Torah. But those sources were all talking about stopping someone from doing an avera. We had multiple sources. Now you have to help somebody do a mitzvah and you can be motzi. So where does that come from? And when did it take effect? So we know, and again, we're just a little more than a week away from Shavuos. Famous pasuk in Parshas Yisro, Shmos Perek Yotes, Pesuk Aleph and Beis, right? We'll read it on Shavuos morning, the first morning of Shavuos, next Sunday morning. 83, Bachorosh HaShlishi, Letzeis Bnei Yisrael, Meretz Yitzchayim, Ba'amah Zeh Bo Midbar Sinai. The third month after they came in Yitzchayim, they came to the Sinai Desert. Beis, Vayisu Merfidim, Vayavol Midbar Sinai, they chopped Merfidim, they came Midbar Sinai, Vayachlum Midbar, Vayamidbar, they encamped in the desert. Then suddenly, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. Rashi, the underlying idea of Rashi. You have all these verbs in these two psukim, they're all in the plural. Look at the end of Pasuk Aleph. Bo'u, Midbar Sinai, they came. By Yisu, they traveled. By Avo, they came. By Achanu, they camped. Suddenly it switches person from this plural to the singular. It says, Vayichan. So what's going on here? Now, I've mentioned many times in the past, a crowd, a group, can be the singular or plural. A crowd of 50,000 people. Now, in English, we view that as one. We say, the crowd is cheering loudly. Crowd is, right? And then what do you mean? What is? It's 50,000 people. No, we view it as one entity. The crowd is cheering loudly. In British, in England, in British English, they say the crowd are. I once heard it years ago. I was surprised. But the crowd are cheering. That also makes sense. There's a lot of people. That's what we say in the plural, are. Problem with this pasuk is switches in the middle. That you can't do. One or the other. So Rashi says, the famous Rashi, when they came to Har Sinai, suddenly they changed from a group of 600,000 people, not really united, Vayavo'u and Ba'u and Vayachanu. Suddenly they became Vayichan, Ki'ish Echad B'Leivechad. That's the famous Rashi. And really rooted in a Mechilta, there in Yisro Masichta B'Chodesh Parsha, Hey, 85. Rebbe said that when they came to Har Sinai, they accepted the Torah as one. Kulam Leiv Echad L'Kabel Machul Shemayim B'Simcha. Medrash says, that's what happened, Har Sinai. They all accepted it. And not only that, but they agreed to be responsible for each other and so on. Okay? And he quotes a pasuk later in the Chumash we'll come back to. Okay? But they agreed to be responsible for each other. Okay? So now, according to this approach, when did this idea of becoming responsible one for the other come into play? At Har Sinai. That's Shavuos. That's Ki Shechah B'Leivechad. It's one of the things we celebrate in Shavuos. We got the Torah. We gelled as a nation. Became like one unified people. Each one responsible for the other. Okay, in fact, that's what the Sefer Chassidim writes in 86 in Reish Lamed Gimel. Kol Yisrael Mizeh Lazeh. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk. What's the source? Vayan kolam kol achad v'amru kol asher de v'shem naseh. By the pasuk in Mishpatim, in Perakov Dalad, or Shmos, it's in 88. Okay, Olive Beis and Gimel. Moshe was told to come to the mountain, no one else would come up. And Moshe came down and looked at pasuk Gimel. Vayan kolam kol achad. One voice. And they said, whatever Hashem says, naseh. So Sefer Chassidim, that was the magic moment when they were in Har Sinai. Beis Halevi also writes that in the Drosha, Drush Yud, 87. He says an important point. In Ner Lavoyer, the Shnei Inyanim, two things happen in Har Sinai. One, Kol Echad Omar Kol Asher Divrei Hashem Naseh. Everybody said, I'll do myself, right? I'll keep it off Shnei Kabbalos. Everyone accepted two things. One, Shuba Atzmo Yikayim HaTorah, that I myself will do my best to observe the whole Torah. The Gaman also says the Beis Halevi, Kibel Olav Lashkiach Mechavero. I'm going to watch that other people also keep the Torah. Both things were accepted at the time of Mamad Har Sinai. That's how the Ramban writes in the beginning of last week's Seder. Because it mentioned Har Sinai, right? Parshas Bahar. Ma'ikar Parakhafei Posekala began 89 by the Rosh Hashanah Bahar Sinai Lemor. So Ramban writes, everything at this point is Bahar Sinai, right? And including this Parsha is still at Har Sinai. It's the end of Vayikra. We've gone a long way since Parsha Yisro. We had the Aseret HaDibros. But it's still all taking place in Har Sinai. And Ramban explains all of this. It was really a bris that was established in our Sinai, okay, at the beginning of the 40 days, Ramban writes, right? And Moshe wrote down whatever was written down in the Sefer HaBris, it's described in Mishpatim. Okay, we'll see the Pesukim in a second. But then they worshiped the Egel, so that was sort of broken, and they did it right away, a new bris with the Luchos Shnios. So Ramban writes, in the top of the next page, that same Ramban, in last week's Siddur, Vayikra Perek Chof Hei Pasuk Aleph, Ramban writes, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make a second bris, and it's in this second bris at the time, again, still at Har Sinai, which tells you the punishments. That's what's in this week's Siddur, Mechuk Kosai. That's where the Pasuk, Mechoshlu Ish Bachim, which teaches that comes in his Tochacha, that's at Har Sinai. And he said, and that's why you look in the Pesukim. Okay, you look in the Pesukim. Parshas Kisis, Ramban says, a new bris, 91 Parak Lamedalit Shmos Pasuk Yod Ba'awai, Ani Anochi Kores Bris. Okay, and the Pasuk of Zion, Al Piyad Ramay Karatit Chabris. And Moshe was up there for 40 days, a renewal of the bris. And that's why at the end of the Tochcha and Bechukosa in our Seder, it says in Perkovav, Pasuk Mem Vav, 92. Eila chukim ispat v'atvorsa shenosa shembeno v'ein b'nei Yisrael, behar Sinai, b'yad Moshe. So that means everything in Bechukosa, in the whole Tochcha, including that Pasuk about Kol Yisrael Eiv Mzelazeh, came from Har Sinai. So when did this take effect? At the time of Har Sinai. One problem. If you look at the end of the Chumash in Parashas Nitzavim, 94, Devarim Perkov Tes, you're all gathered here this day. The end of the Parshas, end of the Torah, Parshas is talking about in the 40th year. That's what Rashi says there, 95. This is on the day right before he died. This is the end of the 40 years, long after Har Sinai, to have another bris. And it says in Pasuk Yudalef, they look at 94, another bris. So there was another covenant established with people right before Moshe's death. That's when it started and continued by Yoshua, and they came into Eretz Yisrael, Har Grizim and Har Evel. And that's how the Kaliyakar explains in 96. Okay, they want a new bris, you know, with the people that are about to enter Eretz Yisrael. And this was, as I said, completed Har Grizim, Har Evel, the Arachaim there. Not late, so I don't want to go into it now, but the Arachaim is the same idea. Okay, look at 97. The Archaim Perkov test Pasuk test the Kliyoka there. Archaim said Nir Kikavonos Moshe Bizel Achnisim Arba Zel Zeh. This is where they became responsible for each other. Here, 40 years later, right? Again, look at the Archaim Kikavonos Moshe Bizel Ulachnisim Arba Zel Zeh. Here's where it created the Arbos, and that you look in the Kliyoka also. Uzman Shisar Mzeh Bazeh. That took place when, right before they came into Eretz Yisrael, before Moshe died. Well, which is it? We have a source that's telling us that it took place at Har Sinai. And I have other sources that took place in what's called Arvos Moab, the plains of Moab, where Moshe died right before his death, right before they went to Eretz Yisrael. Well, which in the world is it? Okay. And the Medrash Tanchuma in Nitzavim, Oz Beis, says 98. All these people are gathered together. Kulchem Arevim Zelazeh. That's when Arevis took over. There, and so we have a real problem here. Now, the problem is compounded because the Gemara said, look at the last Pasuk back in 94, Perkov Tes of Devarim Pasuk of Ches, Hanistaros Hashem Okeinu, Aniglos, Lono Lono, Aron Lassos, it's called Dibar Torah. That which is hidden, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's department. But that which is revealed, that's our department to take care of. So Rashi Chumash, 95 quotes, what's going on here? Because Hanistaros, how can you punish somebody because of what somebody thought and so on and so forth? So listen to this. Rashi quotes that that's correct. Okay, that now that they're going to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be punished not for the Nistaros and Nistaros Hashem Elokeinu, but for Nigos, meaning they're responsible for what they know about. You're responsible when you know someone else is doing something wrong. Meaning, says Rashi, that the whole 40 years until this point, you weren't responsible for somebody else. Yeah, but that goes against what we said before, that V'chashu Yishbachi was at Har Sinai. So it's really compounding the problem. Okay, sounds some Rashi, and sounds some Kliyokar, or Chayin, and sounds like this concept of being responsible one for the other didn't take effect until the end of the 40 years in the desert. Okay? Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually has a Machlokas, Mem Gimel and Beis, and it's late, so we can't go into the Machlokas. But Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda will come out okay, because Rabbi Yehuda says that in the desert, they were responsible for the Niglos, what they knew about. This Pasuk is on Hanistaros, Lashem Elokeinu. Now, when they come into, until now, it's on the stars of Lashem Elokeinu. Now they're going to be responsible in a certain way, even for the hidden things. So another time, I have to talk about how to be responsible you don't know about. But that's what changed. Okay. But the Niglos was already before. That will work out okay with us. I printed all the Rashi's 100. You know, and this is a famous pasuk that has dots on top of letters. It teaches certain things. Again, we're on a time now. Rav Nechemiah, though, disagrees. And Rav Nechemiah's view is the one quoted by Rashi and Chumash. Rav Nechemiah says, no, they're never punished for nistaros. You're never punished for hidden things. You're only punished for niglos. But the dots on top tell us, but until now, you weren't punished for niglos either. So now we have a real problem. And that's when Rashi quotes. So what's going on here? Okay. The Gemara in Soto, Lamed Zayin Beis 101, applies that at the time of Har Sinai, already there was actually the Gemara is a whole cheshbon and printed 613 mitzvahs times 48 bris, and everyone's responsible for each other again from Har Sinai. Okay, in Chas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Shin Samachal Oschess says that's a machlokes, machlokes Yehuda and of Nechemiah. But according to Nechemiah, okay, according to Nechemiah, the Yehuda works out fine because Yehuda says, yeah, in the Midbar, Ala Niglos Nenshu Midbar, that's okay. What about Nechemiah? What about Rashi? So it's a real problem. So we're really caught up with when did the concept of Kol Yisar Lozeh take effect? So it sounds like, well, to one extent, it took effect at Har Sinai. Another source seems to indicate, at least according to one opinion, it didn't take effect until the end of the 40 years when it came into Eretz Yisrael. So the answer may lie in the two different aspects we spoke about tonight. We'll just move to wrap up. We said that Arevus has its concept in preventing somebody from doing sins, preventing from doing avera, stopping from doing avera, ochech tochiach, but also in the realm of mitzvahs. In a certain sense, the realm of mitzvahs, especially the motzi somebody else, implies a higher level of connection. It's one thing to say, well, you know, if I don't stop you, I'll be punished. Okay. But it's another thing to say that part of my obligation has not been fulfilled, even though I heard shofar, I can blow shofar for you, because since you're still obligated, I'm still obligated to you. That's already a higher level. So what some suggest is that that's what changed. At Har Sinai, it was type A of arvas. The type of arvas where I accepted that if I do something, I'll get punished if I don't stop you. That we accepted at Har Sinai, like the Beis HaLevi said. But the idea that I can be motzi someone else in a mitzvah, it's mamish like I didn't do the mitzvah yet myself. That took effect later. That took effect at the time of, you know, the coming to Eretz Yisrael. And as I said before, that there, you know, the whole concept of Kol Yisrael Mitzvah has its roots in the laws of an Ari, what's a guarantor. So halacha, what's a guarantor? Right, so that's a mission, Baba Basra. Kuf Ayin Gimel Aleph 104. Hamalvas Chavera de Ari. I lend somebody money as an Ari, and I want to collect. I'm not allowed to go. I'm the lender. I can't go to the RA first, to the guarantor. First, I have to try and collect from the borrower. Then if he defaults, I can go to the guarantor. But first, I have to try and collect from the borrower. The guarantor didn't borrow anything, right? Unless, Yimoral Amanas, top of Kufam, I'm a base, second bar 104. Unless I set it up, though, it's fine. But generally speaking, you have to try and get it from him first. That's how Rashbam explains, unless it was set up that way in advance. But if you look in the Makoros, okay, and it depends. He doesn't have to pay back. He doesn't have enough money to pay back. If you look in the Makoros, and it's printed in the Rambam, Hilchos Ma'avalova, Perek Chaf Hei, Halacha Beis Gimel, and Shulchan Aruch Choshe Mishpat, Sim Kuf Chaf Tes, Siv Beis, Siv Ches, Siv Dal, and Siv Tes, which it's late, so I'm not going to read it all inside, but just explain outside. There's something called an Arev. An Arev is a guarantor, but there's also something called an Arev Kablon, where he accepts a higher level of guarantorship, if there's such a word, right? On a higher level. An Arev means if I'm the borrower, I default, you can come and collect from the guarantor. Or Bezin appointed him and so on and so whatever the case is. But an Arev Kablan, Mamish takes the place of the borrower. It becomes like he himself is the borrower. And therefore, the lender can go after him first. Why would somebody say, oh, okay, I'm doing it for my child, I'm doing it for my best friend, whatever the circumstances are. But that's what they look in the end of 110 and some Kuf Chav Tes of Choshe Mishpat, the Shulchan Siv Tes of Kablon, La Olam Yifram Imenu Tchilam Yirtze. You can collect them first. Why? Because the Arev Kablon becomes like he himself is the borrower. That's the difference. An Arev, I'm not the borrower. I'm covering for the borrower. I agree with my friend, whatever it is, I signed the document. I'm covering. If he defaults, I'll cover for him. Doesn't make me the borrower. It means I'm responsible for him. An Arev Kablan, Mamish, I become the borrower. And that's the two different levels of Kol Yisrael Arev Mizeh Lazeh. In one sense, I'm covering for you. If I don't stop you from doing Averis, I'm going to get punished too. They're going to come after me, right? Because I was responsible. I accepted responsibility. But that doesn't mean I can be motzi you in a mitzvah. I was yotze mitzvah. How come he motzi you? Oh, but if this second level of an ariv, like an ariv kablon, okay, where I become like the bar, I become like you. If you didn't do the mitzvah, then part of me didn't do the mitzvah either. That's why I can bullshit off of you and other mitzvahs as well. So that's the two ideas, two different types of ariv, two different types of kalis ariv and zelazeh. And maybe that second higher level, that didn't take effect at Har Sinai. The first level took effect at Har Sinai, like the source we saw. But the second level took effect. And why would they not take effect to the end of the 40 years? So the Maharal Prague, with this will finish writes in 111, then the Nezer, the Chubby quotes it. Nesivas Olam, Nesivas Toka Perikvav. He says, because no people are together until they have a homeland. A nation is not bound together until you have a homeland. You need the land is what brings them together. That's what the Maharal Prague writes. They're about to go into Eretz Yisrael after 40 years. Then they become Kol Yisrael V'Zev Adzeh. Okay, when we're Arevim, we're intermixed, we're together. We're one people. We have a homeland. There's something binding us together. Okay, then we can say this higher level of Kol Yisrael Arim Zelazeh. That's the idea. That's what changed the Har Sinai. Didn't quite get a great level. There wasn't the same level until they came into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, this higher level of Kol Yisrael Arim Zelazeh took over at that point. I just ended to end on a positive note. I mean, Bachi writes there in Itzavim, Perkhav Tes, Pasuk Tes. He says, if it's true, B'chashu Ish Bachim, you can, many people get tripped up by one person. Nobody stopped him. Now he did this aver and they could all suffer. Okay. Same thing is true in the other way. Sometimes the positive action of one person can be saved a lot of other people as well. So that's a halachic idea of Kol Yisrael V'Zelazeh. The question of when it took over, suggesting there are probably two different stages learned from two different sources because of two different types of an Ariv of Kol Yisrael V'Zelazeh. Okay. I wish a good Shabbos. And we will meet the Mitzvah next Thursday night before Shavuos as well.